What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are coming to you live on a Tuesday night. It is October 14th. This is episode 265. We've got more Texas Tech winning football to talk about this week as the Red Raiders dominate the Kansas Jayhawks at the Jones on homecoming night. It was a beautiful night for football. It was a fun game to watch. The crowd was super energetic, so we'll get into that. We're halfway through the season, so we'll give our thoughts on how we're feeling halfway through the 2025 campaign. And then we'll look ahead to a big matchup this Saturday with Arizona State. There's the Red Raiders head to Tempe to face off with the Arizona State Sun Devils, the reigning Big 12 champions. So lots to talk about today. So with all of that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin. Well, Texas Tech has moved to 6-0 after the 42-17 victory over the Kansas Jayhawks this past Saturday. It was homecoming. We were wearing the sick throwback, 100-year throwback jerseys that were looking nice and clean. We did those jerseys right by going out and dominating the Jayhawks to move to 6-0 overall on the season, 3-0 in Big 12 conference play, and boost our ranking up to number 7 in the latest AP poll, the highest we've been since 2013. The first time we've been 6-0 since 2013. I think this is the highest ranking we've been since 2008 season, where we reached number 2. So that's obviously a hard number to beat, that number 2, but feels good to be sitting pretty at number 7. Your thoughts on the victory from Saturday night?
Another great win, great overall game by your team, full finish of a game as well. I think that really enlightened some eyes around the Big 12 world, at least. Like, I mean, even if you do, you know, get a chink in our armor, we're going to be mad about that blood that you spilled. So,
yeah,
is what I think that raised awareness on. Amazing environment as well. Probably the sickest one I've seen, like, just with all the pyrotechnics and light show and
smoke
tortillas at the beginning and at other times and
several other times.
It was crazy. I mean, this, I know you could do a full pyrotechnics fireworks show on the field in between quarters now.
Yeah, and like the one part of the game where there was like no wind, so it all just sat there.
And so, like, we brought the noise, brought the heat as well. And I mean, it was a great just start to the game with defense taking the field. And Joey was harping on, like, cheer for this number one defense as loud as you can. And we quickly get them off the field, and Cam Dickey just takes 170 to the house. And that was just what a start to a game. And, finished really well in the second half.
Yeah, talk about quick start. You get the stop. Cam Dickey goes and scores. The very next Kansas play, they fumble. You get the ball back. You go score. You do the 2-point conversion that, like, nobody's paying attention. And, you, like, you then before we know it, ran in a 2-point conversion. You're up 15-0 on him in a heartbeat. From there, it was a bit of a struggle to score the rest of the half. You got a couple field goals. Should have been more than 21-0. But you're still feeling pretty good about yourself with a 21-0 lead. And then, you know, second quarter, it was kind of the first quarter that we've seen like this where Kansas is the one that's dominating you, beat you 17-3 in the second quarter, 17-0 run in the half, including a 55-yard field goal, two busted coverage plays. Had you for the first time kind of really going to halftime a little like, all right, what's going on? Barron had gotten injured. Skylar Howard had gotten injured. What were your thoughts, like, as we look back on that and that halftime and then the response that you saw in the second half from this defense and, you know, this offense?
Yeah, second quarter got interesting. I wouldn't quite go dicey but interesting. I rewatched this game on TV Sunday morning and took some notes. And yeah, that caught my eye in that second quarter. Now, one good thing I will say, we didn't let Jalen run all over us and get wild. You know, his runs were under 10 yards and he was met usually by multiple people. We did a great job there, I feel like.
He had negative rushing yards in this game because of all the sack yardage.
Yeah, I wish we could kind of go to the NFL route there and minus that on passing.
Yeah.
Rather than rushing, because it makes our rushing yards look real bad and our defensive rushing look great, but we know how that goes. But either way, the defense was kind of getting picked apart and lost some guys. Not necessarily individually, it was more like when we went to zone coverage a lot and they had some motions and we would just forget a dude, or guys would crisscross and like the tight end touchdown up the middle, we just forgot a guy deep in the middle and, you know, didn't get enough linebacker depth. Safeties were pulled other ways. And, you know, a lot of times corners got pulled different ways and it led to like a 15-yard run.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of that second half or second quarter stuff was. And then, they get, two touchdowns. It's like, okay, nothing crazy. But then, so they score with a minute 17 left and we get the ball back. And we just totally mismanaged this possession here. 6 plays, 17 yards, 49 seconds to give them the ball back with 39 seconds. And in one play, they're across the 50. And in another play, they're already pretty close to what their field goal range needed to be. And so just totally mismanaged the offense there you had started with like a 3-yard out route for almost no time. And then Hammond ran out of bounds for negative yards, and he also didn't waste any time by not getting yards. It's like you really mismanaged that. So I think big coaching point there as well. And so I think that's all it is. Look at it as coaching points. You know, Kansas did their jobs there and found some weaknesses that we, for the most part, shut down second half.
Yeah, I don't think anything from that's too concerning to me. I think it was just a couple of busted coverages, some miscommunication, some stuff that's like easily fixable. I think hearing some of the players after the game, I think it was a pretty quiet, or from the coaching standpoint, it was a pretty quiet halftime. The players kind of took
this
care
in the stands. He was like, I don't know that Shields them gets a word in with this leadership group.
I think he just walks in and says, y'all know what's up. I think he probably has a couple of fiery words for him, but the defense knew what's up. And then they go out there in the second half and they do what they did against Houston. They pitch a shutout. They play with their hair on fire. They just completely dominate the game, take Kansas's offense completely out of it. And then let your offense figure out how to create some separation there. So I definitely think it was like an odd quarter. Barron got hurt, and you just kind of expected Hammond to come in with the fire that you had last time, and it was a little bit of a struggle. You're not used to seeing the defense give up those drives, so it was a little bit of a bizarre ending to the half, but he came out first in the start of the second half and really put this one away. The defense was awesome in this one. We talked about the two drives that gave up the touchdowns and the field goal at the end. But overall, it was another very solid game for this defense. Have yet to give up 20 points in a game. 17 points is the most that a team has scored on us so far this year. So congrats, Kansas. You did do that. You had something to add?
Oh, yeah. I got more stats whenever you're done.
Nine sacks from this defense, a school record for sacks in a game, 3 from David Bailey, 2 from Romello Height. They were just beasts that whole entire game. AJ Holmes, who came in for Skylar Gerald Howard, got him a pair of sacks as well. He was pretty impressive after having to come in and fill in for Skylar Gerald Howard. What other stats you got for us on this one on the defensive side?
Yeah, the defense has given up 0 points in third quarters all season.
Yeah.
So that's good crazy. Luck out of halftime with what we're going to do there. And then, we were talking about the Kansas and, good second quarter yet. And then they came out and put up a whopping 120 yards in the second half.
Yeah.
On only six possessions as well. And two of those were negative possessions.
So yeah, they had like a couple possessions where they were facing like third and 20s, third and 30s. Things were not going right for them in that second half.
Yeah, and so like Greer there, second half shutout, like I mentioned as well. Yeah, just incredible stuff there. And yeah, didn't let Jalen get wild, get loose, and you hit him with multiple dudes. And like rewatching that game, you had so many hard hits by this defense, especially by J-Rod and John Curry.
Yeah.
So many hard hits, not just on Jalen Daniels, on everybody.
Yeah, John Curry will hit a dude. He does not care. And J-Rod just continuing his brilliant Big 12 play so far. He was all over the field, led your team in tackles. He had 14 tackles, had a huge sack. Woo. And then a tackle and a half for loss. So he was doing the usual Jacob Rodriguez things. It was just really fun to watch this defense. I mean, there's a couple times where we put Bailey and Romello Height on like the same side of the field, and I'm like, that should be illegal. That's like not fair.
So you also, another note, glad you brought that up. You got more creative with your defensive stuff, even if Gil Howard goes out, didn't affect your game plan. Because you got more depth this year in that, you know. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, yeah, you're putting Bailey and Romello on the same side, which that's stupid.
Terrifying.
You were also you had a lot of variety with Romello. He was that middle linebacker, blitzing free a few times. He was also dropping into coverage in the flats a handful of times.
And doing really good with it, too.
Yeah. And I mean, with his length, like you're not going to try to throw a ball over him. So that was really impressive to see, like, that he could come from multiple positions, drop into coverage, and still be crazy effective rushing the quarterback as well.
I think there was one play where I can't remember if it was a dump off to the running back or just like a little out route to the running back. And Romello got there so fast. And it was just like, I think we were all like, was that Romello? Like, it was just, such an impressive play just because he's going up against a running back and he just faster than him. And you're like,
he drops into the left flats. And then Jalen Daniels is running around. He stays in his coverage. And there's a dude like 7 yards behind him. Cause, they changed camera angles and showed us replay. And I'm like, there's no way you attempt to throw that ball. Like, he's kind of open, but you're not going to try that.
You're not going
to
risk it. That length, he might be able to knock that down.
He'd probably one-hand it and run for a touchdown.
I mean, him and David Bailey were just so impressive to watch in this game. It's just been really fun. These last two games from David Bailey have been dominant. He's had 5 sacks in the last two games. He's just blowing up these offensive lines.
There. I mean, you got another David Bailey defense player of the week from PFF.
Romello Height of the was week. On the team of the week.
Romello Height, national team of the week. And, you sack-wise have matched your sacks from all of last year.
Yeah.
Half the amount of games.
And both David Bailey and Romello have already set their like career high in single sacks in a season already halfway through.
Right. Yeah. It's nuts. And I mean, don't forget Lee Hunter in the middle, just stuffing everything else that tries to come up there. So it's a great just mix of everybody. I'm glad we got both of them.
I'm glad we got Lee Hunter too. Cause I think he gets under, like, he might not have the stats, but what he's able to do just plugging up the middle the way he has, allows David Bailey and Romello Height and Jacob Rodriguez to just kind of let loose and be themselves because he's just got that middle on lock. Like, you're not moving that guy. It's crazy.
David Bailey had 11 pressures and led the country. Romello was tied for second with 8.
I think I saw a stat that they had 39 passes or something and we had 36 pressures or something like that.
One of our friends mentioned that, but I don't think that accounts for the sack type plays. because on the play, because they don't count stat sheet, yeah, that doesn't go down as
a passing. Yeah,
it goes down as a negative rush. So like, not quite adds up, but you'd have to really dive in to find that stat correctly. But either way, it's still ridiculously high.
Still ridiculous. It shouldn't be that high.
No.
But yeah, just a fun performance from them. You could tell they were into the crowd. The crowd was being awesome. It was so loud, you know. And also to mention, they had like 3 or 4 holds in there too. So it was like, if they didn't get to the quarterback, there are several holds. Probably could have been called for a lot more holds too.
Yeah, and those holds were great jobs by the linemen, because Jalen Daniels was going to get wrecked on those plays.
Yeah,
you like closed line or tackled their guy.
Yeah, so they just wreaked havoc all night. Just been so much fun to watch them. It's been better than I think we all imagined, and we all thought it was going to be pretty good. Just didn't have them being this dominant so far. It's been awesome. The offense was, came out of the gates firing. They were awesome on the ground. This is your best running game day of the season so far. You had a career day from Cam Dickey, who had 263 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. Both of them were over 50 yards. He had, of course, the first offensive play of the game. He takes it to the house later, right after all the smoke show. Smoke still hanging on the field. He takes another one to the house. Really impressive performance from him. Passing game was kind of non-existent. Really didn't do a whole lot there, especially after Barron got hurt. The pass game kind of, you went away. I think you knew that you could run the ball on them, and that's what you tried to do. Will had his moments, I thought. A little rough there in the second quarter when he first came out. The offense definitely lost a lot of momentum. He was able to get it back in the run game, had 2 rushing touchdowns himself, completely threw a Kansas dude, like took a Kansas dude 5 yards out of the end zone, basically. So impressive second half from him. What are your thoughts from the offensive side of the ball in this game, and what's typically a game that, you know, you don't see from Red Raiders a lot, which is domination on the ground and having to find a way to win this game without your passing game?
I think you knew going into this, you could run it up their ass all game.
Yeah.
And Will coming in, not being on point with his arm, they were just like, that's okay. We don't have to throw it, yeah, honestly, at all. And love that we made that adjustment. Kansas just couldn't do anything about it. That's the other kind of good thing. They expected it and still couldn't stop Will or Cam Dickey or even Jacoby, who had almost – he had over 50 yards. So, like, you still had a great, great rushing game.
Looked like a Tech defense out there trying – like, looked like the defenses we're used to watching try to stop the run game.
I mean, it's crazy when you look receiving when they had 4 guys catch a pass –
yeah,
and one of them's a running back, and you know, like Coy Aiken doesn't catch anything, and you know, but you didn't have to throw the ball. That was the good thing. Yeah. Rewatching the game, I was like, you don't have to at all. Just keep running it. They can't stop it.
Run the like, damn ball.
Your linemen are doing so good, and that zone read was working really well with Hammond and Cameron Dickey, so it was good. Hammond's arm wasn't great. The pick he threw was real bad.
Yeah,
especially rewatching it. I mean, it was the guy was kind of open if you make a really good over the top throw, but he was late and short and behind, and it was very interceptable. I'm sure they could see that. My other thing was like, it's kind of, I don't know if it's picky, but it's pretty frequent. It's like the Howard Sampson penalties are still there. As a team, we're down and we were better this game, but the Sampson penalties are still quite there, and he had like 2 really bad holding calls that I don't know if he needs to make either of those blocks at all. He gets really bad like clothesline hold type penalties, so I'm sure they're still working some stuff with him, and then still gotta work on finishing some drives in the red zone. It seems like the less field space we have, the I don't know.
Trickier it gets. Yeah.
Just can't get it in all the way for 7.
Yeah. And some of that is because that's kind of when you're having the penalties too, is you've been hitting the penalties in the red zone, which has knocked you back a little bit. But Yeah, he definitely got some things to work on with the red zone offense, cleaning up the penalties still. Like you said, I think Howard Sampson's both his holds. He could have just didn't need it there. But, you know, it's definitely it sucks that we haven't had fully healthy Barron. I feel bad for him. I think we both are under the belief that you're not going to get where you want to go ceiling wise without him. I think Will Hammond is a great and capable backup. I think he brings a different dynamic to this offense. That's really awesome. But when you're going up, you know, and you've seen him do it both ways. You saw him do it passing the ball against Utah. You saw him doing it running the ball against Kansas. Gives you confidence to win with him. I just think where you want to go with this offense, if you want the passing and running games to be just on par to where it's just it's terrifying to try to stop you, I think Barron's the guy for that. And so hopefully he can get healthy. But, I really thought at the beginning of this game the offense was clicking, was looking really good. You're able to figure some things out there with Will, and I think he's going to be a great quarterback. And who knows, if Barron's injuries keep happening, he might have to be the guy, and I have confidence in him to be the guy. I really think Barron's the key to the success for this offense, especially the passing game. And you're going to have to win some of these games through the air down the stretch. You can't have your leading receiver be Caleb Douglas with six receptions and 55 yards. It needs to be more than that. But when you're having the day you had running the ball, which was a heck of a day for Cam Dickey, what are your thoughts on his performance and the 263 yards? And I think he's still running all over Kansas right now.
Yeah, it's incredible to watch. Fifth most ever by a Red Raider. And Byron Hansbart is on that list twice in the same season. Yeah. That's ridiculous. So, yeah, fifth most ever. We were kind of joking he might run for three, and there were a couple instances he barely got tripped up. He could have broke some more. It was kind of nice to know that you have two very capable running backs now that you fully trust. You're kind of able to take the load off of Jacoby for a game and not get him a million touches in the pass and run game. And Cam said, "I got it," and watch this. And he was amazing. Like, let his blocks happen, and then he's just breaking away from people, making secondary guys give up chasing him. Like, I think they tracked him at like 21.7 miles an hour on that first run. I'm sure like half that was adrenaline helping him, but
I don't know that his run against Utah, he was up there too in speed. So he's obviously got
I know. I guess speed. One was even faster though. Really incredible. Also great for our O-line to be able to put this on their helmet as well.
Yeah, I think like his emergence, obviously we know Jacoby Williams and what he has. And like you said, I think we took a little bit of load off him and rode the hot hand of Cam Dickey because he was just doing so good. It's really changed how I've thought about this team, because I think we definitely thought it was going to be a lot of passing game, but you're winning these games by running the ball. You're running when you want to. And both of these backs are just like terrifying to have to tackle. Kim, both of them will run right through you.
Cody ran that one dude over real bad.
Yeah. He just trucked that dude. And so, you just got two dynamic backs back there that you're just starting to really watch blossom right in front of our eyes. It's really fun to watch. It was really fun to watch Cam get that opportunity, take advantage of it, get rewarded for it with his performance. And I think he was just nominated. He was Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week, National Running Back of the Week. So a lot of accolades.
National Offensive Player of the Week as well.
Yeah, rightfully so. I think that's the most rushing yards anybody's had this season in a game so far. So shout out to Cam Dickey and the running game for dominating the Kansas Jayhawk defense, propelling us to the 42-17 victory. Couple of injuries to mention. We did, Barron, we've talked about his injury. He's day-to-day right now. Not sure if he's going to get the start for Arizona State or not. That's just something to monitor. I'm sure, the injury reports will be coming out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll keep a track on that. I think we were told initially that we'd be shocked to see him play, but as things have kind of developed, it may we've heard that he's feeling a little bit better than he was after Arkansas Pine Bluff game. So who knows on that front. Skylar Gil Howard looked like a scary injury there in the first drive of the game where he got hurt, got the air cast carted off. But it seems like there's optimism that – or it's not as bad as we thought. There's no break or anything like that. I wouldn't expect to see him back this week. I would not sure if I would expect to see him back in the near future, but I think there's a lot of optimism that you will see him again this season. So that's good news as he has become a quick Red Raider fan favorite. Any thoughts on either one of these injuries?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts. First off, in past seasons, you know, these kind of two injuries would have derailed everything.
Yeah.
You know, with you losing one of your all Big 12 defensive tackles would have just crushed your D line in years past. Luckily you have AJ Holmes, who should be starting almost anywhere else, plays a lot for you already, is ready to step up. You're going to get a couple dudes back from injury that can help fill in his role, giving guys breaks basically. I also love that he came out in the boot, but also with his full pads on.
Yeah, still jersey.
Pretty much ready to go. He's like, I can still stop the run in a boot, coach. So love that mentality from him. He tried to go, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I heard, ready. That he was in the practice facility trying to gear up.
Big guys with foot ankle injuries usually don't work out well immediately. So probably best they held him out. Looks good. I doubt. Yeah. Not going to play this week. You don't need him next week against Oklahoma State.
No.
So I start looking past that, get him right, get him healthy for that home stretch. You know, when you have a couple other big games and maybe a Big 12 champ game down the road. So,
yeah.
And like I said, we have quality depth behind him that it doesn't, you know, drop off almost at all.
So. Yeah, AJ Holmes has been awesome for you so far this season too, and he was a Big 12 starter last year. So that's what you spent this money for, was to get some quality depth, and you definitely have that. But good luck to those guys. Hope the Baron gets back to feeling healthy. Hope SGH gets back to feeling healthy. Hope we get to see him back out there in the red and black. Definitely love watching him play. There was a little drama at the end of the game, and since the game with Lance Leipold and the Kansas Jayhawk coaching staff, there was an exchange between Joey and Lance Leipold. Did you see the exchange, the video of it? Kind of stupid. Don't know what he thinks Joey can do. Like, he can tell 60,000 people to not throw tortillas, and they're all just going to listen like it's his fault. What are your thoughts on, you know, we had a source on the sideline there who was telling us that the Kansas staff was bitching pretty hard for most of this game. A couple penalties on us for throwing tortillas, a couple that might should have been thrown but weren't. Your thoughts on the whole kind of the pocket knife apparently that was thrown. Who knows? The thoughts on everything that's transpired since the end of that game.
Yeah, I get where Leipold's coming from, but I think he handled it poorly.
Yeah.
Just like a whiny bitch, basically. And, like, charging up Joey is a little ridiculous. I mean, maybe it's heat of the moment type thing, but I think he's just pissed that he's getting his ass kicked all second half and getting tortillas thrown at him as well. So, like, so unfortunate, but handled it poorly. So did our, like, student section. Like, got quit throwing tortillas at the other team during the game. Because it did cost us twice. Two 15-yard penalties probably should have cost us a few more times, honestly. And so, like, I mean.
They had to go review. They went to review on one.
Yeah. It's going to cost us. Luckily, we weren't in much of a game, but it did, like, hold up an offensive drive that first time when we were starting at like the 12 yard line rather than further up. So, like, can't have it. Like, we could see across the field a lot of rogue tortillas just getting thrown all second half.
Yep.
Like, they got to quit doing it because it's going to cost us, or it's just you're going to ruin the fun for everybody, and we're not going to be able to do it at all.
Yeah.
Like right now, we get to do it one time.
Get to do it once. Yeah.
At least, you know, that's where we got to quit it. Like, do it first time and then be done. But
yeah,
good luck telling, you know, drunk college students that also don't really care or know the, you know, what their actions are going to become. So,
yeah, I don't know how you get the message out there any better than we already have. I know Joey's been very adamant about it. But yeah, you know, to me, it was just crying. I didn't appreciate it at all. I think he talked about everything but the ass kicking, and maybe that's just what, how he wanted to do it. Didn't want to talk about anything that actually happened on the field, all the stuff happening around. Yep. Just kind of loser talk to me. But I do agree that the fans got to be better. We kept yelling, throw the tortillas up. I mean, don't throw them on the field. If you got the itch to throw a tortilla, throw it upwards and or throw it to the side or something like that. But and I think Joey said it best in the post-game press conference. It's like, throwing it once is about us. Once you're starting to throw it more, it's now about you. And yeah, if you love this team and you love these players and you want them to win, then you're not going to throw tortillas on the field, because that's going to hurt that team. And so I 100% agree with him. I love the throwing of the tortillas. We throw our tortilla at the very start of the game, and then we're done with it. And then we try to tell the people around us to stop. So we got to be better at it. You never know when it's actually going to come back to bite us in the ass. We might have a home playoff game here. You don't know that. And you know, we can't be having that in those type of games. So hopefully that gets cleaned up. Hopefully no more pocket knives hit the field, quote unquote, if a pocket knife, you know, did hit the field or get thrown. We'll see. Any other thoughts on the Kansas game, or you want to get to our recap in Club Red?
Yeah, let's keep it moving.
All right. So our tailgate bets recap for Texas Tech and Kansas. We both took Texas Tech -14.5. And as Texas Tech has done all season, they cover the 14.5 point spread. So we both win that. The over under is 58.5. Quick math. Yeah, we covered that barely, right? 59. So we both picked the over. Dustin's prediction score was 52-17. I was 48-17. So we both had the Kansas score right. Both a little bit higher on our scoring, but both realistic scores, probably should have been more in that range. First half spread was -7.5 Texas Tech. We both took that. The spread was 4.5. So we both lose that. First time we've lost the first half spread bet this season. Highest scoring quarter, Dustin went with the third quarter. I went with the first quarter, and that would be wrong for both of us, because the second quarter was the highest scoring quarter with 20 points, thanks to the Kansas 17 point run there. So we both miss on that question. So that is our tailgate bets recap. Before we move on, it is time to open up the club. So somebody turn on some damn music.
Who in here trust us?
Somebody turn on some damn music!
All right, Club Red is open. 6 victories, 3 Big 12 victories. So let's shift our focus to the offensive side of the ball. For our first Club Red VIP, Dustin, who you going with?
I mean, offense, there's only one guy.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, there's literally not much else. So
not much else happened.
Cameron Dickey, 21, 264. Had a 71 and a 50 something else as well.
Like 55 maybe.
Ran through people. Had a hell of a day again. Fifth highest ever for a Red Raider. And is now the third leading rusher in the Big 12.
Yeah, that will help those numbers out a lot. He was averaging like 12 yards a carry. That'll do. So shout out to Cameron Dickey. I'll go ahead. Yeah, he's like the obvious choice. There's really not much else, but I will give it to Will Hammond, who had to come in backup duty and help secure the victory once again for us, was able to do so, added 2 more rushing touchdowns to his total, 61 yards on the ground to be your second leading rusher. The arm wasn't necessarily there with the pick, but his running really did help open up some things there, help you get the comfortable win. So I'll go ahead and let Will Hammond get the second offensive VIP. Our focus now to the defensive side of the ball. Lots of options here on the defensive side of the ball. after their heck of a performance. I'm kind of like just down to put the whole defensive line front in.
Yeah.
Because 9 sacks and a record. I think everybody's got to get on that one. It's a party. It was a party in the backfield. It'll continue to be a party in Club Red for them.
No doubt.
Any other guys we wanted to shout out or just the defensive line?
No, they get it all. I mean, I was looking at Romello or Anthony Holmes, so
yeah,
they can all get it.
Yeah, they got to get in because you can't leave David Bailey out of that. You can't leave AJ Holmes out of that. You can't leave Romello out of that. Even Jaden Cofield, you know, I thought all Lee Hunter, all of those guys were super impactful in this one. Then, of course, as always, Jacob Rodriguez is just always in there after another 14 tackle game from him. So that is our Club Red VIPs for this week. Shout out to the offense and defense and the Texas Tech Red Raiders for getting another dub. Let's shift our focus real quick before we look ahead to Arizona State, as we are halfway through the season right now. And just kind of, you know, typically before the season, we didn't have the time to this year, but we typically do our like best case, worst case scenarios for, you know, the first half of the season, second half of the season. Well, 6-0 is definitely going to be the best case scenario for us. You are 6-0, and here's some kind of impressive stats for you. You've outscored opponents so far 285-73 so far on the season. So far in the first quarter, you're outscoring opponents 98-3. You've only given up 3 first quarter points so far this season. Yeah, you've outscored teams 179-31 in the first half. And I also wanted to look at this one because this is the Big 12 games are the first time that your defense has actually played the entirety of these games. And they have only given up 7 points in the second half. Wow. You're outscoring Big 12 teams 55-7 in the second half. So talking about finishing the game strong, playing a full game, full 60-minute game, the defense has been doing that. Opening drive success, something I wanted to look at too. So far, you've scored on every single opening drive so far this season. You're 6-for-6, 5 touchdowns, 1 field goal, good for 38 points. So this offense is definitely coming out of the gates. The scripts are working. You're able to get points on the board and already put your team in an advantage. So those are some impressive stats. I know you've done some other stat research if you've got some other impressive numbers to throw in from the 6-0 Red Raiders.
Yeah, out of yours, real quick, I love that Big 12 second half defense there, stat. And then really happy, didn't know that, 6 opening drives, 5 touchdowns. Love that.
Love that, I mean, yeah.
Come out, either probably stop the other team. Well, let's see, first quarter, 3 points. So, yeah, stop the other team, and then you come out and score. Or you score and stop the other team. You're starting a game 7-0 every time.
Yeah, you're starting. Yeah, take the 7-0 to the bank so far this season. That's fantastic.
So, yeah, we were talking in the stands on Saturday about basically like Mac Leftwich bearing how efficient and good this offense has looked and felt this year. And we're talking about not many 3-and-out type things. I remember, back 10 years ago when Cliff was the guy, he was the worst coach at going 3-and-out, but also the best coach when he did get 1 first down of scoring points.
It's like he either scored or you go 3-and-out.
Reminding that little thing in my stat in my brain that's probably never going to leave.
Yeah.
Out of your 6 games, you only have 9 3-and-outs on the season. No more than 2 in a game.
Yeah.
And also, if you take out one of those in the fourth quarter of Oregon State that all your backups were in, maybe third stringers. So those first 3 games, basically 3, maybe 1 if you want to consider that. These Big 12 games, only 2 apiece.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, really good. And only, I mean, 2 of them in those Big 12 games, only 2 of them are in the second half. I mean, Utah, you kind of started slow, tough environment.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are later in the game. You know, Houston, 6th drive and 11th drive. Kansas, 5th drive. That's when Will Hammond started and came in. And then 10th drive later in the third. And so if you can get going in that first quarter, you set yourself up really well.
That's one of the things we like to talk about is the consistency from the offense and the ability to, we're not asking you to score every drive, but sustain drives, be able to get the ball After your defense gets a stop, give them some rest, move the ball a little bit, put some pressure on the other defense, and not just immediately give the ball back. And I think, like, yeah, it's just been really impressive to watch this team's able to move the ball, create first downs, put points on the board, whether through a touchdown or getting in field goal range, just doing it consistently, doing it early, and doing it in the second half as well. And really just kind of throughout the game, which is something that we've just been asking for, is the consistency from start to finish. And you've really seen that so far this year. But yeah, so we're here 6-0, six more games to go. Yeah. What are your thoughts so far on everything that you've seen and how you feel headed down the stretch of the season?
I don't know that it could have been much better. Just looking at scores and how you've gone. I mean, Barron could be a little healthier, you know, but besides that, you've really avoided any major, major injuries. I mean, Gil Howard's going to be out maybe a month at the most from what it looks like, kind of, sort of. So, like, that's great. You're just getting guys back is all that is. Like, Chapman Lewis is revving up and starting to get ready to play, whether that's this week or after Oklahoma State. So I keep that rolling, because I think that's the only thing that can trip you up at this point is your own injury bug.
Yeah, to me, it's gone better than I expected. I mean, did I see us going 6-0? I could have seen that. Did I see us going 6-0, beating every team by like 24 points or more? I don't know if I really saw that. Like, you're dominating these teams, you know.
Easily.
You can, you know, say the schedule's weak or whatever, but you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing against these teams, which is just you're a completely different level than they are, and you're really showing it. And that's been the most impressive thing to me. You know, we've seen Big 12 teams have success. I think about that TCU team that made the CFP. I'm like, they were winning games barely. They were hanging on to games. They were getting lucky. Like, you're just winning so easily that, like, it's just crazy. You haven't, your big test was like being up 21-17 at half at home. Like, it's just been really impressive to watch this team go out and dominate both sides of the ball. You have one of the top 10 off, you have the top offense in the country, you have a top 10 defense in the country. It's just crazy. And so, yeah, I think, you know, when we look at the second half of the season, I think another undefeated slate is, definitely something that I see happening. If we get through Arizona State this week, I'll be pretty confident in this team moving forward. Of course, BYU is going to be a tough one. Kent State, I think, is going to be a tough one, but I like this team and I like your odds as the season continues. So wanted to kind of shout out some stats there, shout out this team and their performance so far through the season, as we are now 6-0 heading to Tempe, Arizona, as we shift our focus to Texas Tech, 6-0, 3-0 in the Big 12 versus the Arizona State Sun Devils, 4-2, 2-1 in the Big 12 Conference. Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoff our time, 1 p.m. kickoff in Tempe. This is our first matchup back since last time we went to Tempe, when Patrick Mahomes was playing for the Red Raiders, and we made Caden Ballage look like the greatest running back to ever play the game of football. I think he had 7 touchdowns on us, maybe 8 touchdowns. I can't remember. Seven on 9 carries. Just ridiculous. We made him like the Heisman favorite for a moment there because of that performance. We had the Arizona State band play in our face at a piano bar in Tempe. It was a good trip besides the game, but the Red Raiders are headed back for their first road matchup with Arizona State as conference foes. Last year, of course, the Red Raiders got the best of Arizona State in the Big 12 reigning champs. I think we were their only conference loss last season. Arizona State coming off the loss at Utah last week, where Utah thumped them pretty good, although Sam Levitt was not playing in that game. So take of it what you will, but the Utah Utes did put up 42 points on this Arizona State defense. So that's got me kind of licking my chops for this Texas Tech offense to take some shots, put some points up. But what are your thoughts on the Red Raiders facing off with the Arizona State Sun Devils and the Big 12 reigning champs this weekend?
Yeah, reigning champs. So this is your motivation for the team for the week. Like, they have the title, they have the crown. You got to go to their house and take it. And, you know, they're motivated because of how they got whooped last week as well. So it'll be fun to see kind of that environment. I'm glad they don't have a night game. I'm glad it's also not like 110 degrees like it was last time we went.
Yeah.
that was pretty awful. But, yeah, this is kind of – I mean, I don't care how they are, where they are now. Like, they're right behind you.
Yeah.
Like, don't let them get hot type thing. That's what happened last year. So it should be an interesting matchup. Yeah, I'm not as concerned about them individually per se, though. More like look at a bigger picture to attack them.
Yeah, it's more for me, it's just the constant kind of thinking of past Texas Tech teams and how this game would trip us up possibly. I'm definitely not as impressed with Arizona State as I was heading into the season. You know, losing at Mississippi State the way they did. I mean, I think like you want to theoretically go in and win that game if you were trying to be the team that you were the previous year. But they've done what you're trying to do. You know, you're trying to get to the Big 12 championship. They came in their first year. They made it. They won it. They won the conference. They almost beat Texas in the CFP. They're trying. They did what you're trying to do. And so I think that's a lot of motivation to go in there. And they're going to be a team that's going to want to win this game. It's going to be a big one. It's probably their biggest home game of the season when you talk about strength of opponents going into their house. So, So, yeah, you know they're going to be ready for it. You've got to be ready for it. And so far what you've seen from this team on the road makes me fully believe that we're going to be prepared, ready to go. Hopefully we can control some of the penalty side of things that we've struggled with when we've been on the road, false starts and stuff like that. I think we're working on a silent count, so hopefully that will help eliminate some of those issues. But, yeah, I just expect this team to go out and keep doing what they've been doing. Nothing I've seen this season has showed me anything different. And so I'm excited to see these guys. And, of course, and nobody on this team's, you know, was there or really knows what it was like to go out there. So,
yeah,
it doesn't mean anything to them. They're out there for just looking to go get another dub. So excited for that. Sam Levitt didn't play last week. It did practice today. I saw some reports. So it's looking like he's supposed to be back on track to play Saturday. What are your thoughts on this defensive matchup as they go up against him? A really good quarterback and maybe the best receiver in the Big 12 and Jordan Tyson in this Arizona State offense.
Yeah, that's where you got to start. Jordan Tyson, probably the best receiver in the country, not just the Big 12. He's by far their number one option. 47 receptions, 500 plus yards, 7 touchdowns already on the year. I think you look a lot at the Baylor film. They held them to 7 for 43 yards in that game and beat them, you know, 27-24. So look at a lot of that film, maybe just double him all freaking game for all I care. Because they're like on their receiving stats, it falls off hard after him. Yeah, Levitt's probably good to go from what it looked like. You know, he had a foot issue that had been bothering him. They kind of, it's just gave the Utah game to him. Jeff Sims, their backup quarterback, stinks.
I was shocked that he's still in college. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, he went 18 for 38 for 124, if you were curious. 18 for 38 is god awful. But yeah, I expect Levitt to go. He's your QB1 in the Big 12 preseason wise. Had a good end of the year last year, also. Couple other guys kind of look at, or actually one guy. Relique Brown, their running back's pretty decent.
Yeah.
He's third. Sorry, Cam Dickey's second. I said he was third earlier. Relique Brown is third in the Big 12 in rushing with 91 for 570 yards as well. But you're facing the number one Big 12 rushing defense at Texas Tech with only giving up 63 yards a game. And they just found out their starting center, Ben Coleman, is out for the year.
Oof.
So that's not great news for an offensive line about to face
Lee Hunter.
A guy like Lee Hunter. And you're going to put a new center in front of him.
Good luck.
That's probably something to watch and maybe expect some missed snaps or false starts or something just off of that. I expect that defensive line to eat like normal. How much can we contain Jordan Tyson is the biggest question.
Yeah, and I think I feel pretty good about that. I mean, the Kansas receiver, I barely remember seeing him do anything last week. I think he had 4 catches, something like that. Emmanuel Henderson, the Alabama transfer wide receiver. We haven't been burned by a receiver yet this year. Of course, you haven't played anybody like Jordan Tyson, so it'll be really interesting to see. But I think the way your defensive line plays is a huge factor in that and making these quarterbacks uncomfortable. I don't think Sam Levitt's been as impressive as he was last year so far this season. I mean, you look at his stats, he's 500 yards passing below Barron. I know one of the things that, he's tough and he's going to try to run the ball on you, but, you've done pretty good with running quarterbacks so far this season, so that doesn't scare me. A running game hasn't scared me at all. A running back hasn't done anything against us this year. So it's like, all right, if Relique Brown's your best player, I think I'd be nervous if they still had Scatabo, but they don't got Scatabo back there because that dude just plays like an insane person.
They're not the same without him.
Yeah. And so I just think this is a different team than they were last year. And I think Sam Levitt's a good quarterback, but I don't think he's like a guy that completely scares me. And I think our defense is just too good for a team to really just dominate us. I think it's going to take what it took Kansas is like a couple broken plays and kind of get lucky on that to score. Otherwise, if we're locked in, I just don't see him really destroying us. I think you're going to have great coverage plan for Jordan Tyson. You're going to have to try there. We're going to try to make the other guys beat us. And I'm not really scared about the other guys.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably your game plan. Offensively, Barron, of course, like we've talked about, remains day-to-day. So we're not real sure if he's going to be the starter. We're not sure if it's going to be Will Hammond. But what are your thoughts on this offense against this Arizona State defense?
I hope Barron is a go because, like you have mentioned, I have mentioned and tweeted out, I think our ceiling is higher with Barron out there. He's felt better than what he did the first time he aggravated it. There's that. I'm sure Will will get more practice time this week than he has before. So
yeah,
that's a good thing for him and the offense, I believe. Like if we do have to go to him, might not be as, staggered starting throwing him in there type thing. But I'm not worried about their defense, honestly. I mean, their pass rush is really spread out. They don't have one crazy good guy, and they don't have – their whole team's not really off the charts on that either. And so I think, Howard Sampson and that crew can handle the pass rush. Their run defense is good. They're only giving up 111 a game in Big 12 play. They're third in the Big 12 in that. So run defense is good.
Yeah.
Now, if we have to trot Will Hammond out there, we're going to need to use his arm. Because they're not going to just let us run zone read quarterback option stuff with him. They're a little better than that. Now, they did get 0 sacks against Utah last week, but Utah didn't have to throw it as much, but they're also a great, great O-line. But I think we're not that far from them at comparing O-lines. And then biggest thing for them, they're out 2 starters on the defense as well. Linebacker Zyrus Viasu is out as of this week. And then their safety, Xavier Alford, has been out and will continue to be out. So that's tough having 2 starters out on that side.
Yeah, like you said, they're giving up about 336 yards a game on the defensive side of the ball. That's right above that Houston line, and that Houston defense didn't really cause a whole lot of problems for you. You were kind of just shooting yourself in the foot in that game. We saw what we were able to do against Utah defense. So This defense really does, I think, scares me a whole lot. You know, as long as our offensive line's doing what they're doing, creating holes for the running backs, Barron or Will, whatever quarterback it is, I have full confidence in them to be able to go and lead this offense, put points on the board. I think Mac's just a really good game planner. I think he knows how to use our strengths. I think he knows how to adjust to what the defense is doing and putting the ball in the right guy's hands and letting them go to work. So yeah. I'm really not too nervous. We'll be definitely keeping our eyes out to see what the status of Barron is as we get closer and closer to Saturday. Hopefully he's good, but if not, you know, hopefully Will's the real deal and can go out there and lead this team to victory on Saturday. Any other thoughts you have on this game? You're ready to get to our tailgate bets for this week.
Yeah, let's do some predictions.
All right, let's do our predictions. Starting off with the spread, as we always do, Texas Tech, a currently 9-point favorite. Last I checked, what are you going? We've gone Texas Tech every game so far. I imagine we're both doing the same here as well.
Yep. Even on the road, tough environment, tough team, still taking those points.
Yeah, team hasn't come within 24 points of us. Until a team comes within single digits of us, I'm going to keep taking Tech on that. Over-under is 50 points, Dustin. Which route are you going over-under, and what's your score prediction?
I got the over pretty easily, just because I think Arizona State does have a competent offense with a quarterback and great receiver. I think they can score better than any other team we've played so far because of that. But I do have, and you know, I've kind of tampered my Tech offensive expectations just a little bit. I'm not going in the 50 burger range again.
Although those probably should have been 50 point scoring games.
I know. So I'm going to tamper it and go Tech 35-24.
All right.
I hope we score more than that, but I just can't quite get there yet.
I'm going over as well. I'm going 38-17. And kind of like I said last time, until a team scores 20 points on us, I'm going to keep predicting that they're not going to reach 20. So I'm going 38-17, which also puts the score over 50. So first half spread is Texas Tech -5.5. I'm going with Texas Tech on that as well.
Yeah, I think we're up at least a touchdown, if not by 10.
And then the last bet here, threw in a fun one. The first Texas Tech touchdown will be scored by?
Give me Caleb Douglas, actually through the air on this one.
I had him if you went Cam Dickey.
Oh, look at that.
But I'm going Cam Dickey, because I think that running game is just really taking off. So, all right, to recap our bets for this week.
Probably going to be Jacoby now that we both
Yeah, probably. Oh, well, that'd be fun either way if one of us hits it.
That was stupid now. Look at it.
Yeah. A same game parlay of all this would pay off pretty well if you're able to hit all of this. Recap spread, Texas Tech -9. We both have Texas Tech covering the spread. Over under 50, we both have the over. Dustin going with a score of 35-24. I'm going with a score of 38-17. First half, Texas Tech -5.5. We're both going Texas Tech on that. Who scores the first touchdown? Dustin's going Caleb Douglas, and I'm going Cam Dickey. Well, that will do it for our Texas Tech football coverage for this week. Before we get out of here, our final shots. Dustin, you got a final shot for us this week.
Yeah, coaches are getting fired fast. Yeah. James Franklin out at Penn State.
Bye.
And then days later, the Michigan State coach got fired as well. They probably got swept under the rug with all the James Franklin news.
Bye.
They're not sitting around either.
Wasn't there another coach too? I feel like there was another coach that got fired.
Major program yet. Florida's coach held on to his after beating Texas for a few weeks at least. But, I mean, Arkansas is open. Virginia Tech is open.
Maybe that was what I was thinking of, the Arkansas.
UCLA is open now. Oklahoma State.
Apparently the UCLA coach just sucked because they've been great recently.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah, coaches aren't getting much of a leash anymore with NIL and kind of having to keep, you know, teams and players around, and you got to try to keep your locker room. You can't let it completely disintegrate on you. So pretty crazy. James Franklin was there for like 11 years, had them in the top 10 a lot. Yeah, they lost, you know, some of the bigger games, but I mean, he played for quite a few Big Ten championships, and I don't know if I could have pulled that trigger with where you were with this in the last few years, and like so close. Like, I mean, I look at like what Nebraska did after like Bo Pelini, like 10 or 12, 15 years ago, because they were like in the same boat, and they're like, we need that one or two more wins, and then they crumbled themselves for a while, and like, it's a, you know, finicky road to go travel on. So we'll see, you know, where they go from there.
See how it pays out for them. Virginia Tech and Oregon State both fired their coaches.
Oregon State's the other one. Yeah. Well,
and then also, I don't know if we talked about him on here, but of course, Mike Gundy also is one of the coaches who have also gotten fired. So yeah, college coaches getting canned left and right so far this season. Happy to not be having to have that discussion for us. Luckily, we've been on the bright side of things so far this season. It's been nice.
And we don't have to worry about Joey getting poached, because you're sitting here with Cody Campbell money.
Yeah. Like,
Joey's not wanting to go anywhere.
We're going to be all right. Feels good to feel like that. It's been a while. So, I didn't really have much other than, just James Franklin getting canned from Penn State this weekend. Indiana with the huge victory over Oregon. I think it's worth talking about them doing it on the road, now moving up into the top, to number three in the country. So shout out to Jill and her Indiana Hoosiers for what they've been doing. Football keeps happening. The Red Raiders are number 7 in the country. Big game Saturday. That's all that's on my mind right now, is beating the Sun Devils. So that will do it for the tailgate this week. Excited to have another big game day coming up this Saturday. 3:00 kickoff for the Red Raiders. If you're here in Texas, if you're out in Tempe, represent, throw the guns up, throw a tortilla at kickoff. Have a good time. I can't remember the name of that piano bar. I wonder if it still exists. But we'll post a video of that, of the good memory
somewhere as well.
That's a good times there. We had a good time there. Shout out to anybody making the trip out to Tempe. Enjoy your tailgates there. Enjoy your home tailgates. Enjoy watching the Red Raiders play this Saturday against Arizona State. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.